If you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshigat, casting sidelong glances. He places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendent body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. Oh, my dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, just don't make the mistake to look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands there on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshigat, casting sidelong glances. He places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendent body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. My dear everyone, if you still have time, run out of this room, because if you hear about Krishna, you might never like to leave again his lotus feet. If you have so many plans to become happy in the world, run away from this room. It is dangerous to hear about Krishna. Anyone who hears about Krishna will soon feel inclined to remove themselves from the center. And after removing the ego from the center, place Krishna on the throne of their heart. If you hear about Krishna and think about Krishna, you might want to selflessly serve him without wanting anything in return. When you hear about Krishna, you might see the foolishness of what it means to try to be an independent enjoyer. In one sentence, my dear devotees, Krishna in Vrindavan teaches every one of us what it means to love. Today, my dear devotees, we will hear about what transpires in the evening in Braj when Krishna returns with his cows to meet the devotees. In the morning, in the village of Vrindavan, a sense of sadness spreads, because now Krishna will leave the village. Now the Brajavasis will not be able to see him until the sun slowly climbs down the ladder on the western horizon. There's only one group of people who are happy in the morning, These are the cowherd boys and well, he's not happy. The cowherd boys and the cows, they are in a jolly mood because Krishna will leave now with them for the forest. When Hari looked back over his shoulder as he entered the forest, my dear devotees, he saw that the Brajavasis had stopped following him. This made him blossom in joy. Released from the chains of the Brajavasis' glances, Krishna jumps forward into the forest, free and restless, like a mad young elephant who starts to run. The cowherd boys were dancing, they were singing, they were laughing and leaping and feeling ecstatic. In fact, they felt so ecstatic that they stumbled over each other and fell on the ground and then laughed, ha 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 ha. They imitated Krishna's activities, like how he peacefully stands in front of his mother, but restlessly looks at the girls. And they imitate him, how Krishna's voice trembles. Oh, mother, oh, mother, oh, 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 mother, I am not looking at Radharani. Some of the boys went between the trees and the vines. They imitated the restless glances and slight smiles of the gopis through their open veils. Others walked on their hands, imitating the cows, and some were rolling on the ground with bent necks and raised their ears. Tomorrow, the devotee Madhava will come and ask him to move his ears for you. He can also raise his ears. I suggest you bring 10 children together and then ask Madhava to wiggle his ears. And then you have an idea how the cowherd boys were wiggling their ears in great joy. Some were fighting with each other with sticks or with their arms. Some were throwing fruits of the forest on each other. Others showed their skills in just piercing one stick in the ground and balancing on that stick, while some were dancing, laughing, or pleasing Krishna with some other seva. My dear devotees, I request all of you, let us chant Krishna's glory. We are a little bit in the mood of the villagers who were left in the village who are waiting for Krishna. In the same way, we here in this world are waiting for Krishna's appearance in our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please, everybody sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, My dear devotees, the Brajavasis, they're like people whose mind had left them somewhere on the fields, but they were simply singing about Krishna. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, they were singing. Some were at home trying to churn butter from yogurt. But the problem was their mind was with Krishna, so that they were churning water which was in clay pots. My dear devotees, these people were not normal people. The Brijbasis cannot imagine a moment without being in Krishna's presence. And when Krishna leaves in the morning, their minds go in meditation along with Krishna. And therefore, what is left is a body without a mind, trying to churn butter, trying to go to the fields, and so on. But all of a sudden, the scene changed abruptly. It was in the afternoon. All the Brijbasis moved to the gate through which Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cows had left in the morning, because it would be the same gate, the gate of departure, where Krishna would enter the village again. And they were all standing there, looking eagerly in one direction, that same direction in which Krishna had left in the morning, the direction from which Krishna would return in the evening. All of a sudden, the crowd of the waiting Brijbasis became agitated, because far in the distance, a dust cloud had risen to the sky. And this could only mean one thing, that Krishna, together with his millions of cows, would come over the earth, and their feet, combined feet and hooves, would have raised the dust cloud. And they also became agitated because they heard the sound of a beautiful flute. But only moments later, they were sinking back into an ocean of despair. It was the wind only, not Krishna. The wind had raised a dust cloud, and the wind had fallen into the reeds, das Reed in den Flüssen, and had produced the sound that sounded like the flute. I thought it is a little obvious, but I have to say it again. Unfortunately, this program is not designed to reach the hearts of the children. We had a children program earlier, so this will be a little meditative. So if you have a small child who cannot be fixed like a bird on the branch of a tree and looking only in the direction from where Krishna would come, then please entertain the child through interesting games outside this room. So yes, meanwhile, Krishna, who was still far away from Braj's village, looked at his cows. My dear devotees, the cows looked so content because they had spent a whole day with Krishna. They had very robust bodies, fed udders that waited to be milked. All day they had the most healthy grass, and they were happy because Krishna loves his cows, and the cows reciprocate that love. There's a beautiful scene described in Gopal Champu when Krishna returned after a long absence to the village of Vrindavan. Somehow, the Brijbasis had gotten wind of this, because before Krishna, when Krishna had just entered, crossed the Yamuna, and before he was coming into the village, he took his conch shell and he blew. And all the elderly people, Nanda and Yashoda, the cowherd boys, the gopis, and the cows had risen as if they had been dead and now were revived by Krishna's announcing himself. The cows took over everyone, and they came in the front of the procession of the Brijbasis, who went into the direction of the sound of Krishna's conch shell. And my dear devotees, when Krishna saw the cows, he bent down and paid his obeisances to each single cow, and he remembered each single of their name. To some he said, "Oh, Hamsi." To another he said, "Oh, Pingali, you look so fat." This is a compliment for a cow, you know. Surangi Mukhi. Is it many, many millions of names? Krishna knew them all, and Krishna expressed with a loving voice that was trembling with love the names of all his cows as he went over to them and scratched their neck so that they became so absolutely pleased. So Krishna looks over the cows and then he says, "Hey boys, it's time to go. Take your flutes and your horns and raise a joyous concert. And then let us call our cows." And the boys took sitars, flutes, I don't know, violins, maybe violins, and other wind and rhythm instruments like drums. And they raised a big, big sound. But above the sound, you could hear Krishna's sweet voice calling out, "Shavali, Pishangi, Domila, Shushila, where are you? Come here. It's time to go home. Forget the grass for now. You will get more in the Goshala. Now Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men are waiting to milk you. Come, come, come." And as Krishna addressed his cows, they all came together, and in one big stream that looked as white as the Ganga, they all wound their way to Vrindavan. And at the end, there were Krishna and Balaram, who looked like a white captain and a black captain steering this huge boat of the cows. Who was the white captain? You know everything already. Balaram. Who was the black captain? Good. At that time, Mother Earth thought, now is my chance to embrace Krishna to my heart. And being very intelligent and able and skilled, she transformed her body into the most soft dust powder and waited for the hooves of the cows to raise her soft powder. And when she came up, she looked down, the earth now in powder form, where Krishna was, and then came down and embraced his transcendental body, which became extremely beautiful because of the whitish powder. There were also some marks on his forehead because Krishna was perspiring, and the perspiration ran down his face and drew beautiful patterns on his face. And Krishna smiled. She smiled because he understood the desire of Mother Earth to take him on her lap. Krishna was covered with the dust, which made a beautiful contrast on his dark hair. He was wearing a special garland. Who remembers the garland? Vaijajanti. How is a Vaijajanti garland made by the Vrijbasis? What flowers are used? What? Five flowers. Do you know one of the flowers? What? Kadamba flowers? They look like snowballs with beep, 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 beep. No, like a devotee in ecstasy whose hair is going to the very beautiful and very subtle fragrance. Okay, we have Kadamba flower. Then you need to know all this because you will be one day hopefully asked to make a garland for Krishna. It has to be the proper garland. What? Mallika flowers? Yes, I remember. Champaka? Tulsi! Tulsi must be there. So we need one more flower. Jasmine, that is in the Champak family, Jasmine. And have you mentioned the lotus? No. Someone earlier. These are the five flowers. The five flowers, and in between you see Tulsi coming forward, and he likes the flowers. Now, as Krishna was coming down, coming towards the village of Vrindavan, one cowherd boy came towards him. He had a basket, and the basket was covered with a damp white cloth. Can you imagine what was in the basket? Sweets. Well, no, that was in a special basket. The sweets, I remember. The basket and the sweets, they were made from, the basket was made from one crystal alone. But this was another basket with another content. It was a second Vaijajanti garland. Because the first was covered with white dust. So this boy said, "Oh Govinda, we have a new and fresh garland for you." But Krishna said, "No." The reason was that the first garland, which he got in the morning, was made by Radharani personally. And the fragrance of her hands was still lingering in the flowers of this first garland. The second garland, however, was made by the cowherd boys, and there was no touch of Radha. And therefore he kept his old garland, which had the fragrance of Radharani's hands and reminded him of Radha. And he wouldn't exchange it even for anything. Hare Krishna. This information from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So everything is covered at this time of Krishna. Also his Kustuba jewel. Krishna veers amongst all the different, he has many garlands, pearl garlands and jewel garlands, but he has on his chest a special jewel that looks like a calf and is absolutely red. And when Krishna comes to the village of Vrindavan, this Kustuba jewel knows the mind of Krishna and it begins to shine very brightly, brighter than usual, because it wants to send the Brijbasis a sign. Krishna is coming. And then the dust cloud raises and the Brijbasis see the darling of Braj dancing with his flute, looking down on his feet as he dances, very joyfully, and coming into their vision together with his beautiful flute playing. Krishna is so much enjoying his flute playing because the love of his heart is poured through his flute, and the cowherd men and the Brijbasis feel touched by his love the moment they feel touched by the sound of the flute. In fact, the flute is the first messenger of Krishna's extraordinary personality. The sound of the flute travels through the land of Vrindavan. It is received by those who are suffering in the separation of Krishna. And this flute goes through the channel of their ears and revives them. As Krishna plays his flute, he restlessly looks left and right. And wherever his restless glance falls, the trees begin to sprout blossoms. The Brijbasis look at Krishna. They can't blink their eyes because finally they see the Lord of their heart for whom they have waited the whole day, and their mind returns to them. Krishna, in other words, returns not only to Vrindavan, he returns also the mind which he has taken with him. Chitta Chora, he is called, the one who takes the mind along. He returns that into the body of the Brijbasis. After hearing Krishna's sound from the flute, all the Brijbasis begin to shake their head with love, because now their noses catch the sweet fragrance of Krishna. Who of you knows how Krishna smells? It's very intimate, no? We have a personal God. My dear devotee, he smells, has a subtle smell of the lotus flower, mixed, however, with the somewhat herb smell of the aguru wood, and there is sandalwood smell. It's all the four substances all together, and they are very intoxicating. In this world, people take through their nose some unwanted substances and they become intoxicated. My dear devotees, the same nose, when it smells Krishna's fragrance, creates a feeling of loving madness. And the Brijbasis start to speak about Krishna's flute. One Brijbasi says, "Is this flute song a flow of nectar, or is it a flow of poison? I just don't know. If the sound is harder than a thunderbolt or softer than nectar." From this you know the divine encounter or the meeting with Krishna is different from anything in this world. It leaves you as if you are struck by a thunderbolt and you can't move, or, and at the same time, as if you are invigorated by nectar and you want to move. So they don't know, is it? What is it? Another Vishvasi said, is this sound hotter than fire? Or is it cooler than the moon? Everything in Braj related to Krishna puts you in a state of ecstatic madness. Some Brijbasis, for them it's so strong, they faint. Some get tears in their eyes as they encounter Krishna. Some become motionless. But there's one group of Brijbasis. They are the gopis. It is described their eyes were fasting the whole day because they couldn't see Krishna. Their only food for the eyes is Krishna, nothing else. So when Krishna comes, they are feasting on Krishna's transcendental body. Krishna comes so close that they feel Krishna looks at each one of them, and they shower a rain of flowers on Krishna. On these flowers they have written flower messages. When will we meet? Where will we meet? What would you like me to bring? And Krishna, through his glances, answers every one of their love letters that is written on the petals of the flowers. There are also small boys there who cannot speak very much, but they know this much. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Please sing. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. And this kirtan becomes stronger and stronger, because also the cowherd boys join in, the cowherd men join in, the elderly gopis join in, even some of the animals, the birds join in, and they sing combined voices very loudly. Please sing. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Everybody please, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda. Now only one voice, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. A little louder, please. And one more time, everybody. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Now, amongst all these boys, all these Brijbasis, there was someone, an unknown person, who was witnessing with large and open eyes this festival of Krishna coming home. It was, he had arrived in the morning. He had actually arrived after a very, very long journey. And when he arrived, he said, "Is this the village of Krishna?" But the people whom he had asked were just looking at him, not recognizing his words and not recognizing the situation. He had gone to the fields where the people whose mind was no longer with them but had gone with Krishna were working, and he had said, "Are you preparing something for Krishna?" But the people had looked at him and had said, "Krishna, that is all." So this boy had waited, had gone through the town of Vrindavan, had seen many, many things which cannot be described because they are spiritual. They are beyond the reach of the mind and the word. And he had actually seen at one stage in the afternoon how everyone went to the gate, and he had gone with them. He had seen how even the trees started to look in one direction, the birds looked in one direction, and he had been very surprised because Yamuna, who came flowing towards Vrindavan, had stopped and gone back to the direction where the dust cloud with the flute sound came. So finally, when the dust cloud lifted, you remember, and the Brijbasis could see Krishna coming, and they could also see the light of one decoration of Krishna. Do you remember that decoration? The Kaustubha Mani. You know everything. How does it look? Like a calf. Calf carved into it's a red ruby-like jewel, a real big thing. So the cowherd boy, so this boy who was dressed like a cowherd boy, started to run towards Krishna. And as he ran towards Krishna, Krishna seemed to recognize him. He left all the cowherd boys with whom he was coming and started to run towards that one unknown person. And when they met halfway, they embraced. Krishna said only one word, "Where?" And then Krishna fainted. He fell into the dust of Vrindavan, and it became muddied by his tears and perspiration. And the gopis who had seen this all went, "Oh!" thinking that this was a demon who had taken on the form of a cowherd boy. Do you remember one Krishna Leela where actually a demon had taken on the form of a cowherd boy? What was his name? Palambasura, yes. So they, although they had not seen this, there was a rumor in the actual Vrindavan, and all the pastimes which take place in Boma Vrindavan, which have to do with killing of Vrindavan, killing of demons, I'm sorry. All these pastimes which are related to demons and which take place on this world where we have a lot of them, these pastimes don't exist as such in the spiritual world, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita informs us. But they are there as rumors. There was a rumor, and there was someone who took on the form. So the gopis remembered this rumor, and they were breathless. The other cowherd boys thought also, "What is happening? Our kanai has fallen to the ground. It is all wet, and he's all muddy." Only Balaram kept his calm as usual. And he took the form of that unknown stranger. He took the hand, I'm sorry, of the unknown stranger and pulled it down and pulled it and placed it on Krishna's heart and said, call his name into his ear. And then the stranger started, Govinda Damo Dharamadameti, or and other names of Krishna. And Krishna slowly came back to his senses and looked at him and then completed the sentence. The sentence had started with one single word, where? Now he completed it. Have you been? And then he said, this is very nicely documented in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Swagatam, Swagatam. Who knows what Swagatam means? Welcome. He said it twice. He didn't just say one time, welcome, but he said, welcome, welcome, meaning how absolutely happy he is. My dear boy, I'm fortunate. And then he repeated, actually, I'm most fortunate to meet you here. For so long, I have been so eager to see you. My dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all. You know, all this waiting had increased the Lord's eagerness unlimitedly. For so long, I was hopeful that you would come, and I was dancing like a fool, perhaps in this lifetime, or maybe this. He will finally turn his face towards me. But you didn't even show some attraction for my holy name. So I could not find a pretext on which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I myself have created. My dear devotee, Sanatan Goswami gives us an insight here. He says, here the Lord answers a possible doubt. Why did he not simply use one of his Shaktis to bring Gop Kumar to him? And there was a reason. Timeless laws which the Lord had set up. This refers to a restriction which the Lord himself has established. And this is the restriction. As long as the living entities wishes to control and enjoy their own little world, the Lord will respect their choice and not interfere. Though the Lord looked for a pretext. Pretext in German means Vorwand, a fake reason to bring him. Can you imagine what the fake reason could be? It's when someone by chance chants the holy name. Then Krishna feels, ha, now I can act. Who of you knows an example for this? Ajamil, he had chanted Narayan at the time of death. He meant his own son, but the real Narayan thought, Krishna, the Lord thought, please chant my name. Now I will do something to save him. He's mine. But you, my dear boy, didn't even chant. But my dear one, in that divine district of Govardhan, I arranged for you to take birth there. Govardhan is my most beloved abode. And there I became your guru, known by the name Jayanta. My dear devotees, Sanatana Goswami says, even anyone who had the slightest contact with Giriraj Govardhan will know that this is an atmosphere of mercy and divine arrangement. Anyone who comes there will for sure get the mercy of Krishna. Knowing this and having unwavering faith in this, Burijan Prabhu and a small crew of other devotees have given Govardhan retreats there for some time now, and by Giriraj's mercy, they have built a Govardhan retreat center which will open this year after Kartik. If you have feet on your legs, please move towards the opening of that center and receive your good fortune. This is, by the way, not in the text. This is my text. Then Krishna said, "Today you have at last fulfilled the desire I have harbored for so long. Please nourish your happiness and mine by staying with me here forever." Gop Kumar at that time might say, My Lord, you did so much for me, but I did do nothing at all for you. I did not even look in your way, but you cared for me." To this the Lord says in all humility, "Listen, what good have I ever done for you? But you have done me the greatest fortune by coming here. Please stay here with me forever." My dear devotees, I asked you, where else can you find such mercy? We should not let the Lord wait. We should express our deep devotional feelings to Him by saying to Him, "My dear Lord, for so many long years, I've turned completely away from you. But today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. Please accept me." It is said someone who can turn to the Lord like this is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. A little louder, please. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Maya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Siddhade. Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Jai Jai Shri Vrindavanada Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Jai Jai Shri Vrindavanada Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Jai Jai Shri Vrindavanada Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Jai Jai Shri Vrindavanada
Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, it is a great fortune for me, even though I am approaching the subject matter as a very imperfect or fallen or conditioned soul, really. It's a great fortune to speak to you about Krishna directly, how he is, how he dresses, what he thinks, and like this. All this is taken or extracted from the scriptures, of course, because our mind doesn't go, cannot go there. The point which is so nicely illustrated in this last narration, which you have heard most probably before, it's from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know, where the boy's name in this world was Gop Kumar, but Krishna called him Sarup. So this boy, when he enters the village of Vrindavan and he sees how everyone's mind is really not with them but has gone with Krishna out, and how then Krishna addresses to him and says, Swagatam, Swagatam, welcome, welcome. I was really longing for you. I find this very, very wonderful that Krishna doesn't forget us here in the world and becomes so joyful when finally he sees someone who cares to look his way, to look in his direction. And I can imagine that he's very happy with all of you who came to leave the world for, and the things you ordinarily do, for an intense practice of bhakti. You have now completed the second full day of your retreat. Tomorrow is a holy name day. We will chant maximum amount of time. I think we start at 10 o'clock already. Maybe someone of you should announce this. There will be a schedule and we will have Kirtan devotees joining us for the occasion. And thank you very much, and I wish you a very nice remainder of the evening. And remember, there is a task in front of you when you wake up in the morning. Huh? What was it? It had to do with gratitude, yes? What was it, gratitude? It was about remembering, practicing this reverse thinking, place the desired thoughts into our mind and let them be our friends during the day and accompany us. It's this part of the transformation idea. We have something to practice. Okay, so we hold you long enough here. All the best for you. Have a nice rest and see you all tomorrow. Hare Krishna.